exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you. And love, life's sweetest reward, let it flow. It floats back to you. Love boat soon will be making another run.
Well, folks, our next guest has done it all, indeed. Listen to this list of appearances. The All-Star Family Feud Special, A Mike Douglas Show, Dean Martin Celebrity Roast for Mr. T, This Is Your Life, Late Show with David Letterman, The Rosie O'Donnell Show, Pinky and the Brain, Peter Gunn, The Dick Van Dyke Show, The Untouchables, Gomer Pyle, USMC, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Munsters, McHale's Navy. Hold on, I got to take a breath. The Andy Griffith Show, Perry Mason, My Favorite Martian, The Rat Patrol, Ironside, Hawaii Five-O, Hogan's Heroes, Love American Style, Rhoda, Wonder Woman, Charlie's Angels, Hotel, Murder, She Wrote, Burke's Law, The King of Queens, Jag, Touched by an Angel, That 70s Show. And, of course, this very talented actor came into everyone's hearts as Captain Meryl Stubing on The Love Boat and Murray Slaughter on Mary Tyler Moore. Please welcome to the Drew Marshall Show the incomparable Gavin McLeod.
Well, thanks, Drew. It's so nice to be with you.
Gavin, let's talk about marriage, shall we?
Sure.
Because the rest of us need to learn not only from our own mistakes, but from others as well.
Uh-huh.
And I know that things have been up and down and things have waxed and waned in your marriage life. I think 1954, you were married to your first wife, Joan.
That's right, uh-huh.
You had four children.
That's right.
Julie, Megan, David, and Keith.
You got it.
And then around 72, maybe around 18 years of marriage, you and Joan were divorced?
Mm-hmm.
What role did the business play in the demise of that marriage?
I really don't know. One of the problems was, when we were doing McHale's Navy, and I was unhappy with what size of my part and all that, and there was some negativity around that. I don't want to get into that. I started drinking. This is before I really knew Jesus the way I know him, and before I knew, you know, a lot of the teachings, and that's before I ever knew that alcohol was a generational spirit, you know? And so I think the fact that I sort of ran to alcohol to try to escape where I was, that was not good for the marriage. It's just not good for any relationship. And so I really failed there, you know, because of that. And maybe the unpredictability of the business of, you know, going to the unemployment office and see all your friends, all the actors used to go there when we weren't working. The business could have had something, but I don't think I really knew who I was at that time, you know?
You're battling with insecurities. You're battling with the stability and
all those things that young actors go through. I was going through there and through that time, and so it just we just had to end that. I mean, it's not like we didn't seek help. We went to counselors and we went to sessions and things like that.
Mm. You know, you and Gary Berghoff have a similar story in that.
I love Gary. Gee whiz.
Well, in that he still feels quite badly about his first marriage failing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you got to be kind of insensitive if you don't.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys around here that match that description.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
And then about what was it, 2 years later, you married Patty Steele?
Uh-huh.
How did you two meet again? She was...
I went to see her in a show.
In a show. Which show was it?
It was The Chocolate Soldier, the musical.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I knew somebody else in it, and after the show, she came out, and she said her daughter was in, Stephanie, who was in the show just before Mary Tyler Moore, called Arnie, on television, and we talked about all that kind of stuff. I said, gee, she's great. I said, so what do you do? She said, well, I teach tap dancing in this group here. I said, oh, how do you get in? She said, well, you just have to, you have to join, and I guess it's going to cost so much money and all that. I said, oh, well. So I started taking tap dancing at my free time on a Saturday, and that was it. And so we really grew together and in many ways. And
Patty also had roles on The Love Boat and in Wonder Woman, I think.
Yes, she certainly did. Boy, you've got it all down. That's fabulous. Yeah, she did. Doug Kramer said, he produced Wonder Woman. He said, I'll get you, he says, if you'll do it for me, he said, it'll be a good part for Patty, too. And I said, oh, sure, well, let's see what. So we did that, too. Well, Aaron is the first one. We went to Lauren Tweez's wedding, and Aaron really produced that wedding. So we're sitting in the back, and he turns around, and he says, Patty, he says, I've got a great part for you in 2 weeks. Wow. So that was that house, and she did about 6 shows, different characters she played. She played opposite Jim Backus in one, I remember. And then in Australia, she played another one. She's very good. We're going to be doing love letters out here on Valentine's evening. Did I answer that?
Yeah, sure. No, I'm just trying to get the chronology of it. And I think then after 9 years, you divorced in around 1981. Is that about right?
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds accurate.
Yeah.
And so what happened there was, I tell you, the responsibility of being the lead in a show like that, we had 48 extras, we had all these fabulous stars, and so I had to be on top of everything. And so I would leave when it was dark in the morning, I would come home when it was dark at night. And if I had a small part for the week, I'd be out doing press all over the country. They really kept me as busy, and it was wonderful. I was excited about it. It was terrific. But I would come home, and she'd say, so what happened today? I said, oh, I can't even tell you. I've got to study lines for tomorrow. You know, it's like having a final every day, but the whole world's going to see it, you know?
Right.
And so it's learning, and forgetting, and learning, forgetting, and learning, forgetting. And so I reached the point where I said, I got to choose between one or the other, and so I just chose that show, and we divorced, and
remarried again though. How many years later was it?
Well, 1985 we got married.
You see, that's a very, very rare thing. I mean, how many times do you come across somebody who's divorced and then remarries the same woman?
True, that's happening more and more.
Is it?
Yes, it is. We thought we were the only ones, and all of a sudden, because of us, we start hearing from all these people. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Patty had 3 children.
Yes, that's right.
Stephanie, Andrew, and Tommy.
You got it. Mm-hmm. And they're like my kids now. I mean, so we have like the 7 because her ex-husband died some time ago, but he had left. He had no contact with his kids for years and years and years and years and years and years. It was just one of those things, and so
that's a shame.
Yeah, it's how many times do we have in this life to really do things that are important? But anyway, but when we got back together, we had a whole new life, and because Jesus is in this life, you know, really, and so we in the interim, she became. This story goes on and on and on about, but she went to psychiatrists on both sides of the country, saying, you know, my husband, I want him back, and they said, well, he doesn't want to be married anymore, let him alone, and then finally, Jerry Lewis's wife, Patty, said, I want to take you someplace. He took her to a prayer meeting in Beverly Hills, and all these ladies were around, some big stars. And they meet once a week, and they pray for each other and for whatever. And they said, well, what would you like prayer for? She said, I want my husband back. And one little voice said, well, you can have him back. And that was the first encouraging word she said she heard in those couple of years.
Wow.
And so they started praying for me. In the meantime, my mom started to act a little strange back in New York, and I found out something was amiss with her physically, and so I bring her out here, and the doctor says, after examination, she's got a cyst the size of a baseball inside her left brain, and we can remove it, or whatever you choose to do. He says, I can't promise you she won't be a vegetable. I can't promise you anything. These are very. So my brother and I decided to do it. It'd be better the way she was. She wasn't really herself. So the morning of that operation, I woke up in my big, big bedroom in Beverly Hills, in the, right near Quincy Jones out there. It was like in the suburbs in a way, praying to Jesus. I said, if you give my mom more time, I'll give my life to you.
Wow.
If I act anymore. And so she pulled through. Oh, and something right after that told me to call Patty, who I hadn't talked to in almost 3 years. So I called Patty. It was 7:15. I had a late call for work that day. And I said, hi. She said, hello. I said, this is Gavin. She said, I was just thinking about you. I said, can we be friends? She said, that's all I want and all this. And so we made a date. In the meantime, she had started a group called Ladies, L-A-D-I-E-S, which stood for Life After Divorce is Eventually Sane. Yeah, it was a support group. And they traveled, she and these girls, ladies, traveled all over the country helping other women and going through the same kind of stuff. So anyway, I finally did see her the following Monday. And she finally came to the door. And we looked at each other and hugged. And she says, I'm sorry, Gavin, your dinner's cold. It's been waiting for 3 years.
Oh, gee.
So I knew she still had her humor. And that was the beginning. And I said, so somebody told me you're born again Christian. What does that mean? She says, well, I'll tell you all about it. She started telling me. She says, I have something for you. And she goes and she brings out a Bible. She had put my name, engraved my name on it, planning for me to come home. One of the things she learned was after that woman said, oh, you know, I'm going to pray that you get, your husband comes back and all this, she found a ministry called Born Again Marriages. That was the name of the ministry, out of Omaha. One of the things they taught her, and we were just talking about this the other day on television, is that when she entered the room, she said, honey, I'm home. And then she put the wedding ring on again. And all these things as if I was still there. So she started that. And before you knew it, I was home. And that was the beginning.
Gavin, why Jesus? I mean, you're in an industry where pluralistic religion, sort of a consumeristic mindset, pick and choose. There's a multiplicity of gods you can pick from. Why Jesus?
Because he's the Son of God, and because he did the miracles he did, and because he rose, and he sacrificed his life for us. I believe all that. And Patty has, as a matter of fact, we were in a new age when we first got married. This is something. We were in a New Age teaching at that time, which is very self-oriented.
Sure.
And if you realize that selfish, they go together. And that's sort of the way I was when I wanted that divorce. It was just, what was best for me, you know? It was a very selfish action. But I believe the Lord let that take place, because I really think that he's had his hand on us, because as a result of all the stuff, the negative stuff and the kind of tears and the ulcers and all the things that you go through in life, to come to the point a few years ago when we really got, when you can hear him, when you give him time, when you really listen to him. I mean, I work out every morning, and as I'm walking, I'm just, that's part of my time, because he's with us 24 hours a day, but that's when I'm by myself just with him. We have a dialogue, and that's a very, very rich thing. It's the antithesis of what it was when she and I first got together. We thought we were doing everything, you know.
Mm.
And so now when you finally give your life to Christ, you turn it over to him, and it teaches you patience. It teaches you what love is really all about, and it teaches you to get out of the way. It teaches you so many interesting things that make life better for you. You know, you go through something, and you just put it. You give it to him. That father thing I talked about a while ago.
Yeah.
No, he is like the father you give things to help you. And I don't know. I can't imagine my life without Jesus. Now, it's like, how could I do it in this business? Well, the business is not that important. What's important is eternity. What is important is what kind of image do I have for my children? And whoever we run into, I'm the honorary mayor of Pacific Palisades now. And, you know, people watch everything we do. And I got a chance to, I'm speaking at the Optimist Club. I did that last week, and I have the Rotary Club coming up. I'm going to emcee this major fundraiser we're having with a bunch of young people, and the money is all going down to a parish in New Orleans. We're doing love letters as a contribution to the theater to make money for the little theater we have here. So we, but everybody knows who we are. They know that we are representatives of Christ wherever Patty and I go.
So because of some of the things in your past, mm-hmm. whether it be the divorce or the alcohol or, you know, look, let's face it, as an actor, let alone an actor who also claims to be a Christian, that magnifying glass is huge.
Oh, yes, no doubt about it.
And so do people say to you, come on, I mean, you know, look at this. I've seen you in this situation, or I've seen you mess up here. I know what you're really like. How can you claim
no,
to be?
No, you know, I tell you something. I've never run into anything like that. They may do it behind my back or something, but I've never had to run into anything like that. But what I would say was, look, the real F word that you hear bantered about these days is not what you hear, it's forgiveness. And that's the most marvelous tool. And Jesus said, you know, if you don't forgive other people, I won't forgive you. And you have to forgive yourself for some of these things, or else you can't go on. And if the purpose in life is to serve Him and to be a servant of His, you can't really do that if you haven't forgiven yourself of past mistakes. And I think he taught us that so that we can be those kinds of examples. You know, we heard something the other day. Someone just was telling us about, oh, we know them. They go to church and so forth. But he said they lie about this and they steal about this and they say terrible things about their neighbors. Well, what kind of an example is that? Someone said, I think Joyce Meyer told Patty once, she said, the only Bible some people will ever read is you. And your behavior, because if you say, you know, I'm a believer, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, they're going to be watching you. And I know when I was made the mayor of this town, I know they really thought I was Jewish. I really think so.
Just because of the accent?
Yeah,
or
Steve, Steve Guttenberg was before me, and I played Murray Slaughter. A lot of people think I'm Jewish because, you know, the New York thing.
Yeah.
And but they all, it's been in print, you know, born again Christians, and you know, I talk about Jesus when every opportunity arises without hitting people over the head with the turkey bladder, as Mary used to say. You know, you try just to be a good example.
With the people that you rub shoulders with, the life that you have, the scene that you walk in, It must be hard for you seeing the loneliness or the heartbreak or the emptiness in so many lives within Hollywood. And here you have this restored relationship with the creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. And it must be hard for you to figure out whether you should go forward and tell them about Christ or just sit back and wait a little bit more. Or, do you know what I mean?
It always, you know, I always pray that the Holy Spirit will tell me what to do if I run into people I don't know. Or people, if I'm working on the set, I don't do that much too much anymore.
Yeah.
Number one, I don't like the material that's being done, and then I'm an older person, and God really hasn't got me. Last year, I had a chance to do that 70s show, and you know, some of the stuff they said on that show. And a friend of mine, it turns out, is one of the writers, and I said, "Wow!" I said, "How could you do this kind of stuff?" He said, "Do you know what it'd be like if I wasn't here? God has got me here, so at least you know it can be fairly palatable." But no, and then I get a chance every once in a while to talk when I'm out to some non-believers, and the thing is, I consider myself, you know, just to be a husband and a father and a grandfather who has made a wonderful living as an actor, being able to do what he wants to do. And that's a major gift from God. And now how he has changed all that into being he put the love boat into my life so that was the beginning of the cruise industry even happening. And how I have evolved as a spokesperson with Princess Cruises as that whole industry, the cruise industry, is billions and billions and billions of dollars every year. I wish I was getting some of that, but I mean, I'm very happy where I am to be a part of that. And everybody I work with at Princess knows where I am spiritually. And most everybody I know where I am. And I think it's just because of whatever sense they feel that I have about me. And if there's any specialness, you know, if there's any heart there, if there's any compassion, it's all because of my relationship with Jesus.
Sure.
And that we have a forgiving God, and you know, and I mean, you can make a mistake, and make a mistake, and make a mistake. I mean, we're not perfect. There was only one perfect one, and we know who that was.
Yeah.
But the fact that you've got him now, the fact that Patty and I have him now, and he has us, you know, and that our show, TBN just sent us a thing, and our show is still on. After all these years, it's still being run. Now it's at 1:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the morning, East and West Coast. And I was wondering about that, but one morning somebody told us after church, there was a couple came up. They were school teachers, and they said, we were having this great big fight. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. So we went and put on the television, and there was your program, and you were interviewing people, and you were talking about marriage and what they were going through and so forth. And we just sat there and listened. It was like a God wink. It was like God just, this was the right moment for this. And so they said, we're back together, and we want to thank you so much for doing what you've done. You know, you just never know who's going to be watching something at what time. Nothing is wasted when it's done for the Lord.
Mm.
Nothing is wasted.
Mm.
And I have a new picture I'm going to be doing in August, back east. A little small picture. And I think it can help change lives, especially for young people. And
good.
That's the kind of work I did. I did a picture called Time Changer with Hal Linden and Paul Rodriguez and some very interesting people. And for very little money, but it's brought people to the Lord. And so I think of all the things I've done, that little picture was the most significant. Now, that writer, producer, director has written this other one for me. It's an older man who befriends these children, how he changes their lives. And I'm very anxious to see how, you know, what the reaction will be towards this new one.
I think you should get involved with Focus on the Family and their audio dramas, their radio broadcast. You have such an incredible voice.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, I do have a voice agent, and I keep going down to do these interviews all the time and laying these things down. And it only started about 6 months ago, or maybe 5 months ago. And it's always like, and I know in the old days it would take like 25 interviews to even get one, but now there's so many people around. You know, but I didn't know they were doing anything like that.
Yeah,
Focus on the Family.
Oh, they have some great, great radio dramas. Our children are 14 and 18. They still listen to them at night on CD.
Oh yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Gavin, who would you say? Sort of a typical question, but who would you say would be the person who's had the greatest spiritual impact on your life?
It's hard to be just one.
No, you can have two.
Well, I think Patty.
Well, she was the original one who sort of brought you.
Because she came to Jesus before me, mm-hmm. officially. Pastor Jack Hayford. You know Jack Hayford, a church on the way in Van Nuys?
Sure.
I think he, because Pat Boone and Shirley, they were the best men when we got married. They brought me to church there.
Did you say Pat Boone was your best man at your wedding?
Yeah,
Your second wedding?
At my second, but the big wedding, we got married in Omaha, Nebraska.
Right.
Yeah, Pat and Shirley. Shirley was the matron of honor. We got married in front of thousands of people who were all standing for their marriages. They had all been sort of dumped, so to say. And I wanted to get married in Pastor Jack's office, just us and the kids. But it didn't turn out that way. God wanted something else. And see, when we went down, and we the fact that we did it there in front of all these people who knew, since God is no respecter of persons, that if he could bring us together, he could bring them together. So it gave them a lot of hope, and a lot of them have been reunited. That's what I meant earlier, with their previous partners. And so Shirley and Pat, I just had lunch with Pat 2 days ago.
Oh, did you? He's doing well, is he?
He's a great guy, yes.
I had him on the show a couple of years ago, and quite a gracious man. I mean, that's the
way. He's wonderful.
When I think of Pat Boone, I think of gracious, you know.
Yes, I think of brilliance, too. You know, when he was a young guy and he had, when he was going to Columbia University where he graduated at the top of his class, he was also doing an hour television show every week.
Huh.
He's just incredible. Love to hear his stories and, gee whiz, you know, he's just, what an honor. We're very, very close to them.
Gavin, would you say that you have absolutely no struggles whatsoever with the alcohol?
Oh, not at all. The day I put that down, I've never had another. And same thing with cigarettes. God has been so good to me.
Because the people say, and you hear it time and time again, you know, you're still an alcoholic, but you're just not a practicing alcoholic.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that, but I'm not. No, I'm not. There has never, ever, praise God, been a moment where I've ever wanted to drink. And, you know, we had a couple of people over the other day, and she's a big ballerina, and she's older, and she likes her, what's that white wine, Chardonnay.
Hmm.
So I bought some Chardonnay for her, and another friend, he liked Merlot. And so I had all that, and they each had a couple of glasses and stuff like that, and that was fun. And there's been no desire. You know, God did something for my grandfather, too. My grandfather, this is my other grandfather. He was a lush, too. He was the Irish one. And some of the scenes with the police coming in. But anyway, that was when I was young. Anyway, his one son, his youngest son, went to the war, the Second World War. And my grandfather stopped drinking. He told me, he says, I made a deal with God. He said, I told him if Johnny would come back, I would never drink again. And so my grandfather never drank again.
Wow.
My grandfather, this man who I was petrified of, became one of the greatest guys I ever knew in my life.
Hmm.
He lived to be like 95. And all that was being hidden under, you know, what did I tell you? That alcohol, that generational spirit.
Sure, sure.
And so that was, but anyway, knowing that he did that, I knew I could do that too. I mean, I didn't drink every day. It was just that I was really allergic to this stuff, you know.
So you don't drink anything at all these days?
Oh, no. I haven't had a drink since 71. I haven't had a cigarette since 71. I haven't had any coffee since 71. I'll drink some green tea, and we'll drink some herb teas and things like that. I have absolutely no desire, no nothing ever, you know.
Boy, you're like the Jack LaLanne of Hollywood these days.
Well, I just saw him. He's 90. So we have one of his blenders, by the way, one of his juices. We've had all kinds, and that works the best for us and probably costs the least amount of money.
You know, one thing you said earlier is still kind of resonating in my brain. Jerry Lewis's wife, Patty, asked your wife to be part of a prayer group.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Lewis has a Jewish background, does he not?
Mm-hmm. But Patty was Catholic. She was, I think, Italian Catholic.
Right.
His first wife.
His first wife.
She was a band singer, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's one of the hardest industries to be involved in and grow genuinely spiritually.
I think it is, but you know, there are certain, once you find out what's out there, I mean, if you have a desire to be close to God, there are so many places you can go once you get hooked into that whole milieu, because we have, I mean, our church is enormous. Church on the way. We have three campuses now.
Wow.
And yeah, it's just incredible. And the Hollywood Presbyterian is huge. They have this wonderful theater program down there that they do wonderful plays. And then we have a wonderful man that comes out from Pastor Jeff Perry that comes out from St. Louis every third Tuesday to be with us at the all of us people in the theater and show business to support us. He comes out and they'll have a wonderful dinner for everybody down at the Writers Guild Theater, and then we'll have some praise and worship, and then he'll give a wonderful, wonderful sermon, talk, encouragement to hang in there. And, you know.
Brilliant.
It's just really much. So those things that do are going on, and I'm finding out that more and more people will show up there who are walking the Lord who I never knew before. And it's nice to see all these young people, I have to tell you.
That's great.
Just really wonderful.
That's great.
But so everybody's praying that, you know, some of these young people will get into the business and help change it.
Sure. From the inside out, as opposed to looking in and condemning, you know.
That's right, true, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, listen, certainly have had a tremendous time with the one and only, and I have no hesitation saying that. Sometimes it just sounds so cheesy, but you are the one and only Gavin McLeod.
Oh, gee whiz, thanks.
You know, I was just thinking, reflecting on our chat. I have just so appreciated the time with you.
Oh, why, thanks. Well, I never know what to do, but you sound like such a great guy. I forget who set us up even, you know.
Well,
somebody called me or wrote to me or something.
I had read somewhere that you were involved with a particular theater production company, and I had phoned them, and they said, no, I'm not in touch with them anymore, but this gentleman is. So I phoned that gentleman, and they said, well, yeah, actually, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but this is a good excuse to give him a call, so I'm going to give him a call, and that's how it happened.
Oh, that's great, yeah. And then with Schneider, you're going to be with Schneider.
Yeah, John is on in the 10th, that's right.
He's so great.
Yeah.
So great.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for your heart. You just come across so sincere and genuine. So, Gavin McLeod, thank you.
You too, Drew. God bless you.
How will you make it on your own? This world is awfully big, girl, this time you're all alone. But it's time you started living. It's time you let someone else do some giving. Love.